The reading for today. We come together in an attitude of openness, not knowing quite what will happen, yet daring to receive a new idea, a new experience, sustenance for our minds and our hearts. We come with an attitude of praise, expressing our thankfulness for the good that has come into our lives. We come with an attitude of humility, knowing how much we need one another, how alone we can be in the world, how vulnerable if we face life solely by ourselves. We come in the spirit of love, seeking human warmth and fellowship in the hands and faces of those around us. We come in the spirit of joy, seeking reconfirmation and renewal of life, of love, and of hope. So to start some things off for you, I have some Unitarian Universalist jokes that I would like Marla to help me with. Sure. So, Marla, do Unitarian Universalists ever pray?
Check. Oh, yeah. Only when they think a Democrat is going to lose an election.
What does it mean if you see a Unitarian Universalist kneeling with their head bowed?
It means she's tying her shoelace.
And Marla, what is the definition of Unitarian Universalist diversity?
Four colors of Priuses in the parking lot.
Thank you. As all jokes usually do, these have a spark of truth in them. In this country, you will find Unitarian Universalist congregations on all points of the spiritual spectrum. Some that are completely humanist, like the First Unitarian Society of Minneapolis, where the words God and Jesus are rarely, if ever, spoken. Other congregations that are much more traditionally Christian, like the First Church in Chestnut Hill, you may have to look hard for the obvious Unitarian Universalist aspects. And of course, there are those like ours, professing a great diversity of spiritual backgrounds. This chart is from when we were in search for our current associate minister, the Reverend Leah Hart Landsberg. The options at the bottom, from left to right, are Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, Neopaganism, Religious Humanism, Taoism, and then a column for those who made comments, and the last column of for the people who skipped the question. Probably because we didn't give them an other category. So this document is actually outdated because we've had Leah now for several years, so I will put in a plug that you will have a chance to help update our information in the coming weeks as our senior minister search committee asks everyone to fill out a new survey. But I like this, and I believe that once we get the new information, it will show again just how diverse we truly are when it comes to spirituality. And when we have that diversity, we'd like to hope that we are truly welcoming of all who walk in that door. But is it true? While I've been on staff for 11 years, I have heard many people say that they feel uncomfortable with aspects of who we are. And of course, that's concerning to me. Are we too intellectual? Are we too justice-oriented? Do people who don't drive a Prius feel uncomfortable? This particular point hit very close to home for me last year when I was on Facebook. This photo popped up. This was taken in the fellowship parking lot. A whole row of Priuses along with one non-hybrid. That's what I heard in the comments on Facebook. So I was very nervous to read the comments, wondering how inclusive or exclusive they may be, and especially if the person who was driving this non-hybrid was on there, and that person laughingly commented that their other car is a hybrid, just to make sure everyone was aware. And actually, this is not the first photo that I've seen of what has been dubbed Prius Row here at the Fellowship. So if people don't fit the stereotypical Unitarian Universalist look and behavior, they may feel outside of the circle, as Marla put it earlier. I certainly want people to be free to be their true, authentic selves without feeling the need to hide parts of themselves. Do you feel like you belong? And if so, what happened to make you feel that way? If no, what needs to happen? I have had long talks with fellowship members who continue to find much meaning in their Christian faith, but are saddened by some of the comments that are made trying to restrict Christian language here, while fully embracing, for example, Buddhist and pagan language. Can someone call the fellowship a church if that is meaningful to them? Knowing that many people come hurt by their Christian backgrounds, can we still understand that other people find great meaning in a current Christian label? This is particularly true in our dominantly Christian community, where many people come to the fellowship ready to discard anything that has to do with Christianity in favor of something new. We also have to be careful of making assumptions on others' economic backgrounds. Often, Unitarian Universalist congregations have populations that consist of mostly upper middle class folks. The fellowship does have a lot of economic diversity. It just happens to be one type that's not obvious or talked about. People on both ends, much higher and much lower than the middle class norm that we have in our greater community, have expressed discomfort at sharing those parts of themselves because they weren't sure if they would be judged. This is a hard part of my job. I hear these stories and want to reassure them that they can be fully themselves and not hide any part of who they are, and they will not be judged for it. But just because I personally haven't experienced that judgment doesn't mean their concerns aren't valid. And now I'm naming it so we can be aware of it and we can talk about it. And while we can try to find common ground in areas that have nothing to do with financial means, our hopes and dreams and excitements and worries and concern, we need to be aware that for some of us, these are very much tied to our finances. As the political season gets ever louder and more all-encompassing, I want us to be careful not to assume that we will all vote the same way. Rather than talk about candidates, let's talk about issues that are meaningful and important to us. We can likely find common ground or the possibility of sharing something that you're passionate about. This brings us back to the principles for a healthy congregation that we all read earlier. This is what we want to do in our interactions at the fellowship and most likely and elsewhere. Hear each other's stories and share meaning. I personally have always felt grateful that this was the Unitarian Universalist congregation that I found. I don't know if I would have stayed in either extreme, a mostly humanist or mostly Christian congregation. I don't know if either of those would have let me discover who I am spiritually. I didn't go to church growing up, so when I got here, I had a lot to learn about religion and spirituality, and where I find meaning. I've been able to try on many different types of spiritual practices and see what really fits for me, which was really helpful because when I first came here, all I thought the options were prayer and reading the Bible. I've also been able to learn about the world's religions in a very different way. I did have to get over my own anti-Christian feelings. Like I said, I didn't go to church regularly growing up, but the few experiences I did have were not positive. I went to Catholic Mass with my grandparents several times, and my most prominent memories include my grandfather pushing me away from the communion offerings. It made me feel like an outsider and not worthy in a way that I had not experienced before. Looking back, I much better understand why the sacred ritual is performed the way it is, but I do hope that other children get explanations that I didn't. My favorite metaphor that helps me understand different sacred traditions is the Reverend Forrest Church's Cathedral of the World. I first heard this from our previous senior minister, Reverend Roger Birchhausen, in the UU 101 class I took when I first joined. I invite you to close your eyes if you feel comfortable as I share it. You find yourself in the entry of a vast cathedral. In your mind's eye, look around. Contemplate the mystery and contemplate with awe. Above all else, contemplate the windows. In the cathedral of the world, there are windows beyond number, some long forgotten, covered with many patinas of dust, others revered by millions, the most sacred of shrines. Each in its own way is beautiful. Each tells a story about the creation of the world, the meaning of history, the purpose of life, the nature of humankind, the mystery of death. The windows of the cathedral are where the light shines through. Light of God or truth or being itself, call it what you will, that is outside the cathedral, shines not only upon us, but out from within us as well. Together with the windows, we are part of the cathedral, not apart from it. Together we comprise an interdependent web of being. Honoring many different religious approaches, it only excludes the truth claims of absolutists. That is because fundamentalists claim that the light shines through their windows only. Some go so far as to beseech their followers to throw stones through other people's windows. We shall never see the light directly, only as refracted through the windows of the cathedral. Prompting humility, life's mystery remains hidden beyond knowledge. The light or God or truth is veiled, yet that we can encompass with our minds the universe that encompasses us is a cause for great wonder. You may open your eyes. Many know this story from the Reverend Forrest Church. I was immediately drawn to it when I first heard it years ago. It makes so much sense to me. No one knows the truth with a capital T, but we all have our own small t truths. This wasn't something that I was necessarily taught, but seemed to have been born knowing. So it was really hard for me to understand why others felt differently, why they felt that their window was the only truth, or why they would even consider throwing stones through ours. This metaphor helps me understand why we carry wounds from other faith traditions, and why I need to find ways to help people heal these wounds. We need each other to learn from. We need to understand that everything that we have been through has helped shape our lives, and we can celebrate what is beneficial and set aside what was not. We need to remember that ours is not the only window. The reading this morning was from our Principles for a Healthy Congregation. I love this document so much, and I feel it's not lifted up nearly enough, but it's been twice this summer so far. As Jim Coakley shared several weeks ago, this document was created in 2001 at a period of time when the fellowship was very healthy, but had gone through a time of challenge, so the community realized that there needed to be a set of agreements to help us know how to be together. This is, of course, important for our small groups, but also for our own personal interactions. When I first got a copy as a brand new member, I put it on my refrigerator. It's how I strive to be in relationship with others. And I think this message helps us see how important it is to be welcoming of all. It reads, "We challenge ourselves and each other to grow and be faithful to the truth we find within." This tells us that our truth, with a small t, is not someone else's. And we should hold our own truth lightly, as it always has the possibility of changing. The document goes on, "We listen carefully to each other, seeking both to understand and to be understood." This means that we share our own truth with others, to share of ourselves and know that they may find meaning too, but always with the understanding that they may not. And that's okay. As I already mentioned, Unitarian Universalist congregations vary widely. Beyond having a chalice as an important symbol, one of the other things that you will find at all other Unitarian Universalist congregations is that we affirm and promote the seven same principles as written in your order of service insert. We live out these principles within a living tradition of wisdom and spirituality drawn from six sources also listed in your insert. Our first principle is that we respect the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Also telling is the encompassing list of where we may find our truth. Our children's curriculum and religious education is often based on all six sources. While we want to give our children tools to be able to find their own path, we also need to teach them about others' paths as well, and to help them be accepting. I do want to say a word of caution. There are messages, statements, and ideas that we as a spiritual community truly will never agree with. While our boundaries of what is and isn't okay may be much bigger than most religions, we still do have them. Someone walking in our doors with the sole purpose of touting racism or xenophobia or misogyny will never be welcome to spread their message. That falls outside of our welcoming boundaries. Not only does it break four of our seven principles, in my opinion, but these ideas go against what many in our congregations consider a basic value, that love is the doctrine of our faith. We all walk through these doors with our own biases, but we work together as a community to educate ourselves and grow. As William Schultz put it, Unitarian Universalism seeks to heal a fractured world and the broken lines within it by calling each of us to the best that is in us. My favorite ground rule that I use in every class and group that I run here as a spiritual community, that we converse, we don't convert. We want to share ourselves with each other, our whole selves. We know that there will be differences, and we're not trying to make the other person come to our side or believe in what we believe. If we question something, we do so with respect and an open heart and an open mind. What other spiritual home can two people share their views on God or the afterlife or any other spiritual topic and have differing opinions and that it be okay? Let's embrace our differences and be grateful that we and our children can see conservatives and liberals be able to have valuable conversations together. People who are vegan and who hunt can respect each other's choices. And of course, people from truly all spiritual backgrounds come to grow here in mind and spirit as our mission statement uplifts, and do so without having to hide any part of themselves. So instead of asking people what they do for a living, or if they're going to college if they're a certain age, ask them what they're most excited about right now in their lives, or what they get out of being at the fellowship. These are open questions that anyone can answer and helps shape our stories with each other. Take these questions with you as you enter the fellowship hall this morning looking for cookies and get to know someone in a new way. May it be so.